Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Hello, New York. This is AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Roy G. Bruce.
I'm Bruce Hall. And I tell you what, it's really different, coming in and getting ready for the show. It's just such a different atmosphere, like in the car, you know, getting the newspapers out, getting on Twitter. I mean, there's nothing on Twitter this morning. When there's no NFL football in January, that week between, and I remember, listen, I've been to probably 20 Super Bowls in the last 25 years because I, you know, being in the sports entertainment business, I've taken a lot of people. There's a lot of people listening to this show that have gone with me to Super Bowls, and we're going to talk about that here in a little while, about what to expect if you're going, how much you need to expect to pay, what you can get wholesale for your tickets, what you can get, what you have to pay retail for your tickets. Is it better to wait? Is it better not to wait? We're going to probably do a good 10 to 15 minutes on what a Super Bowl is like, and hopefully it'll help the people going to the game, and hopefully it'll get more people going to a game. I mean, I tell everybody, if you got the tickets, you're holding $6,000 worth of tickets. Go get a hotel room, get airfare, do whatever you got to do and go to the Super Bowl. Your team needs you. Your team needs you. Anything exciting happen, you know, after the games, Roy, this week? Is there anybody you want to shout out to at the start of the show? I mean, it's kind of important because
the last week games?
Yeah, last week's games. We're going to talk about last week's games in a minute. But is there anybody you want to shout out to?
I guess Icons in Fairfax.
There you go.
It's a great place to watch the games. If you guys are in Fairfax, Virginia, check out Icon Sports Bar.
They're probably listening to the show right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's they're a great bar. And there's probably a million TVs in there. Millions, at least. And they got great food.
That's a lot of zeros.
They got great food, great bartenders. The managers are awesome there. They always take care of you. And, that's where I watch most of my games is at Icons. You can watch every game. I mean, tonight when the Pro Bowl is going on, there's only really one game NFL-wise.
I've heard a lot of good things about it. Everybody wants it to be back in Hawaii. Because they've been having the Pro Bowl.
Well, this is in Hawaii.
I know, but my point is that they don't want to come back. I mean, that's one of the big draws for any kind of a player in the game, or you know, mm-hmm. whether it's your first, second, or tenth Pro Bowl.
Well, who would want to play?
Ray Lewis is there. He wouldn't miss it for the world.
Who would want to play in Indianapolis? I mean, you look at the NHL
All-Star game. The Colts don't want to play in Indianapolis.
The NHL All-Star game is in Ottawa this year, yeah. And Alex Ovechkin opted out of it, saying, "Oh, I didn't deserve to play this year." And they showed pictures on Deadspin and all that of him in Miami with his boys, just hanging out on the beach. And then they showed a picture, like a split screen, of what Ottawa looks like this week. And it's like freezing
20
rain,
feet of
like
snow.
12 degrees. You know, it's like, did you really think you didn't deserve to go to Ottawa, or did you just would rather go to the beach?
Well, let me say this. I mean, I thought he dropped the ball there because I think that you owe not only your own franchise to go to these All-Star games if you're healthy, but you definitely owe it to the league. I mean, you know, he's a face of the NFL. Now, whether whether his arrow is pointing up or down, it doesn't matter.
Well, especially with Crosby. His neck injury and head injury is looking extremely severe now, and it could be this kind of Peyton Manning injury where we might not see him again.
And we're going to be talking about Peyton today.
Yeah, I mean,
because there was a lot of news concerning Peyton and Mr. Irsay.
I don't want to talk about hockey too long.
I said Mr. Irsay because we're not friends.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about hockey too long, but we could have seen the last of Sidney Crosby. I mean, his injury is looking worse and worse now.
Do we have any followers in Pittsburgh? I think we do.
Yeah, we got a couple.
You know, I'm going to tell you.
A couple million.
Sidney Crosby, what a player this guy is, though.
Him and Alex Ovechkin are the face of the NHL right now. And to lose Sidney Crosby, how much they for the amount of games that they have over the past two seasons is ridiculous. And now to find out that it could be a longer that we don't see Sidney Crosby. I'll pull up his exact injury here in a second.
Hey, so your feeling on it is that Crosby might be done.
Oh yeah.
This concussion thing is starting to bug me. Now this is as a coach, a high school coach. Before we had concussion syndrome and concussion problems and you know, ways to deal with a kid that lands on the mat too hard or gets in a helmet to helmet and looks a little dizzy. It didn't seem like it was a problem. Now all of a sudden everybody's got a concussion. How much of that you think is in people's heads? How much of that do you think is in the player's kind of mind, in the back of his mind, that, oh my God, I might be really hurt. I probably ought to stay out an extra game, or I probably ought to stay out of practice today, or I probably ought to do this, or I probably now supposedly the doctors know a lot more about concussions.
Yeah.
But if you ask any neurologist right now, they'll tell you that they don't know anything about the brain. They know 1% of what goes on in your brain.
Well, there's a lot of new studies and new, you know, technology that's coming forth with these kind of injuries of concussions and stuff like that. Whereas before, it was a concussion was a concussion.
Well, they're doing autopsies of guys that banged their heads for 20, 30 years now, too.
And now we're starting to learn in recent years that there's different severity of concussions. There's different levels of concussions.
I've had every one, I think.
I've had 5 concussions that I know about.
I think I had that in one match.
And I get headaches. Just I'll be driving.
Did you ever play in a game you don't remember anything?
Not everything, not that I remember everything, but I remember bits and pieces of games, mainly in lacrosse. My junior year of high school, I got a concussion mid-game, and I was a long stick middie my junior year, which means that you're running on and off of the field constantly. You're only on the field during defense, and you come off of the field on offense. And I ran off the field. I got a turnover, passed the ball, looked forward like right after I had passed the ball, and got hit. And from that point, I don't remember, but I remember being on the sideline, so I made it to the sideline. I ran off like my job was supposed to be, and I remember the coach yelling at me, saying, "Roy, you're supposed to be on the field. We're on defense. What are you doing?" And I ran on just in time for us to be on offense.
I'm looking for some Twinkies. Where are the Twinkies?
And I'm like, and he pulled me over, and he was like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I think so." And I played the rest of the game, but
hey, can you be more specific? Okay is a really general kind of question.
Yeah. I mean, we
by the way, you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, and I'm interviewing my partner, Roy G., here.
Yes,
Roy's
sir.
Giving us a little bit about his what happened to him in
you know, that was high school. That was
the worst concussion I've ever had. The worst concussion I've ever had was in a wrestling match in the early 1970s, and we went to UNC Wilmington, and I had my legs in. And for you wrestlers out there, you know what I'm talking about. But the guy stood up, and back then they didn't blow the whistle for potentially dangerous when you had a leg in and the guy stood up. Guy windmilled me, drilled my head through the mat full speed. And my coach said that I basically contorted and bounced completely across the mat like a fish that had just been thrown up on a deck after you've caught him on a pier. And then I just stopped moving. And back then, I think we had 5 minutes of injury time. They used every bit of it. I don't remember the rest of the match, and I beat the guy. What I remember after that was being on the bus and waking up on the bus going back to Greenville.
Wow.
And I wasn't a bus. It was a van. Actually, we were in vans. And I got to tell you, that was pretty scary. But that just goes to show you what level you can be at of injury, and you still are able to participate. Now, obviously, that didn't do my brain much good. But I don't recall having another concussion after that, unless I fell off of a balcony at a keg party or something and don't remember that, because I wouldn't have remembered anything.
So that was your only...
That was the only real bad one. I got run over by my own guy on a kickoff once. I was on the special teams when I played football, because I just loved to hit. And I started on defense on a club team at East Carolina, and we played a junior college schedule. And I'll never forget, I was zeroing in on some guy from Duke in Myrtle Beach. We played a tournament in Myrtle Beach every spring break. And I was flying across, and I mean, I was going to ear hole this guy. Back then, we could hit people helmet to helmet. Trust me.
I was taught to lead with your.
That's what I did. You had to see.
I'm dead serious.
Listen, you've got to see the contact. Well, how do you see the contact if I'm not hitting him with my face mask?
It was head up contact. Follow through with your head.
Hey, we'll be right back.
On the guy's knee.
This is Bruce Hall. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll be back in a minute.
And we're back here on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, AM 1230 WFAS. Just got done talking a little bit about our old playing days.
Yeah. Yeah, you're 25. You don't have as long to remember as I do. But,
hey, man, but, I am probably just as tore up as somebody your age.
Whatever they're doing now, whatever it is, if it increases, you know, somebody's ability to live a longer, more fulfilling life, I'm glad they're doing it. Let's talk about the first game last week, Roy. I know you've been dying to do this, and I'm not going to point this out because everybody that listens to our show knows I picked both winners. Now I didn't cover with New England.
I covered because
they didn't deserve to cover.
I covered with Baltimore.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to agree with you right now. They probably didn't deserve to win the game because they got outplayed. You know, they controlled the ball over 33 minutes of the game. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, they just couldn't capitalize at the right time. And I got to tell you, this New England defense, what, you know, even though they almost had 400 yards total offense, the Ravens. Still, New England played pretty good defense in that game. No, they did. They did.
Come on now.
Listen, Ray Rice carried the ball 17 times for 61 yards. We said that he needed
21 carries for 67
yards. Sorry. So it was even worse per carry. But the point I'm trying to make is that they did pretty much everything. They went to the tight ends. Torrey Smith caught three passes for like 82 yards, a touchdown. Yeah. Bolden had seven catches for 101 yards, something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell listen, I mean, these guys played a good game. Joe Flacco, all the crap he caught from everywhere, he outplayed Tom Brady.
He absolutely outplayed Tom Brady.
And you know
Brady.
It wasn't even that close. He also scrambled four times for 27 yards.
Yep, you're right.
And they were all first downs. Every single one of those was a first down.
Which leads to third and one. Now,
exactly.
Joe Flacco had already scrambled. You have two timeouts in your back pocket. First off, when Lee Evan catches that ball, or drops that ball, sorry, he did not catch that ball.
That's nice of you to say.
You got to call a timeout there. That's a huge momentum shift towards New England after you've just driven down the field. You have all the momentum. He drops the game-winning touchdown.
There was already a celebration on the Ravens sideline. Oh, yeah. They knew he had it, but he just didn't hold on to it.
So you got to call a timeout there. It's third and one. You got to set up not only your third down play, but you got to make sure your kicking team is ready. That's high school coaching 101. Third down, you call your special teams unit.
Okay? Right, right.
You say, guys, come over.
Well, now they had one more play.
You get ready. Okay.
You're right.
Hey, guys, come over here.
Look, Harbaugh is a dad. His start was as a special teams coach.
So he has to know.
He does.
I mean,
but he was in shock too. And let me just say,
that's why you call a timeout. You don't coach off shock. You don't run a play that is game changing, going to the Super Bowl off shock.
You know, I agree. Do
that.
I agree. But let me ask you another question here. Okay, on third down,
It's third and one.
Why not Rice?
That's what I'm saying. Third and one, you got to call
where's
a better
Rice,
player.
Cam? And by the way, they did give Cam Cameron another year or two.
Yeah.
I think they extended it 2 years.
I tried to look it up. I couldn't find it.
You know, we haven't been able to find it, which leads me to wonder if it's just 1 year, because they might not have wanted to announce it if it's 1 year.
I mean, I've looked at multiple articles. I've looked at the Boston Herald. I've looked at
Washington
Post.
He said he's coming back. Well, you know, there's still two or three offensive coordinator positions available in the NFL right now. Maybe Cam Cameron takes one of those if he hasn't signed. But it sounds like he's coming back because he wants to come back.
Yeah, this just says the team opted to keep Cam Cameron for 2012. So that to me, that says 1 year.
Now, Chuck Pagano, their first-year defensive coordinator, just got a head coaching job for, you know, Mr. Irsay.
Yeah.
He's in Indianapolis.
Which
is he the sixth a coordinator from the Ravens in the last, since they've come to Baltimore, to get a head coaching job? Is it six or five? It's at least five or six.
Well,
look at all these guys that have taken head jobs. All of them.
You got to look at the Cincinnati coach.
Yeah, Marvin Lewis.
Marvin Lewis. You got to look at Rex Ryan in New York.
Right.
Chuck Pagano now in Indy.
Right.
I'm going off the top of my head here, so I haven't even pulled this stuff
doesn't
up.
Doesn't matter, but my point is
how
that
many
the Ravens are turning out head coaches.
And it's not the Ravens. This is not like some, like, it's not that they just hire genius defensive coordinators. You got to look at who they have Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, two Pro Bowlers that are, I mean, how many millionaires has Ray Lewis made, really? Ray Lewis is the guy. I mean, Chuck Pagano was, quote unquote, a conservative coordinator for this Ravens team as compared to the last guys.
He was their D-back coach the year before, the last 2 or 3 years before that. He hadn't even been there all that long.
Yeah, he was the D coordinator for 1 year.
Hey, you know who had a good, had a really good game? And I hate to change the subject, but you know who had a really good game last week for the Patriots? Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Law firm. I'll tell you what, that kid,
yeah, but
whatever they were doing early.
That's what they wanted. That's what the Baltimore Ravens wanted.
Yeah, but, they got, be careful what you ask for. Well, you know, this kid rushed for a touchdown, had 15 rushes for 68 yards.
That's nothing.
Last time I checked, that's 4.5 yards a carry.
Yeah, but
I'll give it to him every down.
If you're going to tell me that.
Hey, how many yards per carry did your boy Ray Rice get? How about
3.2?
Was it?
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, but regardless, if you're going to tell me. If a week ago we look back and I say to you, Tom Brady is going to throw for less than 200 yards with no touchdowns and a couple picks, and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is going to rush for 68 yards, Gronk's only going to have 5 catches and no touchdowns. Who wins that ball game?
You know, Gronkowski, boy, he tore that ankle up too. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. And he's been in a boot all week, which is precautionary that injury, anyways.
Read a great article in one of the New York papers in Saturday's paper about the Gronkowski family. We're going to talk about them later. That is one wacky family, Roy. All those boys, and they're all like almost semi-professional. They're all professional ball players. Hell, the oldest Gronkowski kid played baseball. Hey, let me ask you this, because this is important to me. Do you think if they had called that a touchdown when Lee Evans caught that ball, they would have reversed it?
Yes. Absolutely.
Do you really?
Absolutely.
I don't think they'd have reversed it.
I absolutely think so. I mean, the reason being is...
Well, then you've seen more calls like that than I have this year. I saw Megatron's calls.
Right, that's why.
He's not the only one. Where I've really seen the rule enforced is when they hit the ground and lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Not when they're on their feet. Like, how do you finish it when you're on your feet? How long do you have to hold it?
Yeah.
Shouldn't they make it 2.3 seconds? Shouldn't they make it something they can measure? Because to me, I thought he caught it. And I really expected the hands to go up. Mm-hmm. And when they called it incomplete, I was a little upset because I kind of was pulling for Baltimore late because I wanted him to score. And I really thought Brady looked like terrible.
He looked poo-poo.
I wasn't real excited about that. Plus, Gronk didn't play but half the game for the most part. He really didn't.
Well, the Ravens shut down that offense.
Well, I mean, yeah, but Gronkowski's got to be in there for every offense. He wasn't. When he went to the locker room, he didn't come back till the fourth quarter.
Well, he was banged up. I mean,
he caught like 3 passes after he sprained his ankle.
I mean, I had this game exactly right.
Oh,
and
Roy.
And you called me a homer all week about
it. Man, you are one pathetic loser.
I mean, they covered. And you called me, you know, oh, that you're so wrong. You're a homer, blah, blah, blah. But
no, you had exactly right.
If Lee Evans catches that ball, it's 27-23.
But it was a lot better game than the one
Monday. You know, I said it was going to be 28-24. That was the Monday.
Well,
the
everybody
week
that goes to your blog knows how perfect you were last week. You just
I mean,
lost. That's all.
All they did
was forget to score.
Yeah,
and that's the problem. And listen, you can have 500 yards a game, but if you get it between the tens, you're gonna go 6-10, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you're going to go 6-10 if you don't score touchdowns.
You're exactly right. Unless you're the 2000 Baltimore Ravens.
Listen.
Then you win a Super Bowl.
We're going to talk about the Giants in a little while, but when the Giants were, you know, you can't kick field goals when you go the length of the field. If you kick field goals against a good defense, you're going to lose. You know, you've got to score touchdowns when you get in the red zone. You got to score when you're second and goal from the 1, the 2, right? Second and 1, third and 1. How in the world did the Ravens, what were they thinking that last drive? What were they thinking?
They're thinking touchdown.
Why not a sprint draw, though, to like with 2 timeouts? Why not a sprint draw to Ray Rice? I mean, come on, it's Ray Rice.
That's why you call a timeout there and you set up the play that you
want. At least you make the other team think that you're thinking about something
like
that.
It's third and 1.
Right.
And you have 2 timeouts.
Right.
What are you, First off, what are you doing going to the locker room with 2 timeouts in your back pocket? What are you doing? I mean, that is terrible, terrible clock management there. You lose a game with 2 timeouts in your back pocket.
Do you think
why?
Do you think Bisciotti had this conversation with Harbaugh?
He better.
Well, I'm just one. I mean, do you think? Look, you're the guy who lives in Baltimore now.
He better be having that conversation with Harbaugh. And all the every interview that I've heard with Harbaugh, it's I didn't want to call timeout there because, you know, I didn't want to ice my own kicker.
Did you hear that specifically from him?
Well, those
I never heard that.
No, these are the reports that are all over the radio.
What I heard early, Roy, was that he said, and I heard him say this. He said, you know, I probably could have done that now that I look back.
Yeah, but...
But you know what? No, yeah, you got to use your timeouts.
You have to.
Well, you can't take them with you, right?
Yeah,
you don't take them into overtime.
Yeah, you don't get
them
next season.
It's not like basketball. It's not like college basketball.
It's like,
college basketball, you get to keep those timeouts.
Remember when you really screwed the pooch? We're going to give you an extra 2 timeouts starting week 1 next year.
I'm Bruce Hall. That's Roy Edwards. And Roy has given us the lowdown of that Raven-Pats game. He's, you know... The great thing about being on the opposite side of you on Sunday is we burn our phones up with Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
We just burn it up. Every 2 minutes, here's a statement by me to Roy. Here's a statement by Roy to me. I mean, let me tell you, somebody made this statement today. I want to say it was Steve Tasker. I hate to drop his name. I think he's got 20 kids. He loves kids. I went to a Super Bowl in Tampa. When that was the wide right Scott Norwood kick. When the New York Giants won the Super Bowl in Tampa when Parcells was the coach. And I'm telling you right now, Steve Tasker had a 3-day-old baby in his hotel room because I was there with a guy named Stan Gelbaugh. We met Tasker. He's a wonderful guy. But I bet by now Tasker has at least 20 kids because he loves children. He loves his wife. Evidently, he likes how you make the children. I mean, this guy is. But he's, you know what he's done? He wasn't all that good as an announcer, as a commentator in the last several years. But I listen to him today. He's getting better. You know, he really sounded good. He was on, I think, Pro Football Weekly sponsors us. And by the way, if you go to NHBOWL.com, you can see where I ended up. I forgot to even play for 2 weeks. So I get a letter from the National Handicappers Bowl from Phil, and Phil goes, Bruce, you know, did you forget about me? Did you forget about me? You need to put your picks in this week, or you're going to be disqualified. So I put my picks in last week, and I want to say I was either 2-2 or 3-1. I can't remember if I hit the over in the first game, but I did hit the under, and I had everything right with the Giants. And let me just say this: I made that decision early Sunday morning because I picked the Giants last week. Let me tell you people in New York something. This team is special. And I've said that over and over and over again. This is Bruce Hall. Listen, you want to go to my Facebook page, Bruce Hall Sports. You also want to go to BruceHallSports.com and check me out on my website. We'll be back in a minute.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. And
Roy, look what I brought.
Oh, my God.
Donuts!
It's crispy. Crispy cream.
Would you like a donut, Matt? All right,
I do
pass
love
the donuts to Matt. Matt looks like he could eat all half dozen of those donuts. Just kidding, Matt. I'm Bruce Hall. That's Roy G. We're having fun. You know, let me tell you something. One of the greatest things about the Super Bowl is getting ready for the Super Bowl. We got exactly 1 week till they kick off. It's like it's probably a 6:15 start in Indianapolis. Usually is, which means it's 3:15 on the West Coast, which is pretty late for a football game. Because if you got a 1 o'clock game back east on the West Coast, you're up at 8:30, 9 o'clock because you're watching football at 10. When you're visiting Arizona and when you're visiting California, you're visiting the West, anywhere on the West Coast, it's really cool when you have an NFL, when it's NFL season, because you've watched all the games, Roy, and then you got a whole late afternoon and evening to do other stuff. You can go out and play almost 18 holes of golf after seeing all of the football in a day, seriously, because you go out at 4 o'clock in September, you can get 18 holes in. I'm serious. And you play golf.
Yeah, I play golf.
I do too. You can't do that if you're on the East Coast because it's all day, right? We get up early. We do a show. But if we weren't doing a show, we get up early. We take a shower. You know, we pack the cooler. We go get the food. We get to the, we tailgate starting at 10, 10:30. We go in the stadium at 1. We're done at 4. We get home at 5. We're beat. Then we watch the second game. Then we watch Sunday night football till midnight, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
On the West Coast, these people have it easy. I'm just telling you, they got it easy.
Well, they got to – I mean, you're in church when the 1 o'clock games are going on if you live on the West Coast.
Well, yeah.
Because of the time difference.
I would say that most people, if they're not in church, they go Saturday night to church. Or they go Wednesday and have dinner in church.
You turn your you can pay, life
listen,
around.
If you say you don't go to church, you're basically just making excuses. It's kind of like working out, you know? Hey, I can't work out. I don't have enough time. Look at your body. You got to make time.
I've been making excuses for working out since I got out of high school.
Man.
I thought that was funny. I got stuff I got to do today. Got to go to Target.
Hey, all it takes is a half an hour three times a week.
I don't know what I need there, but I'm going to walk around for a couple hours.
Half an hour three times a week is all you need to do to stay in shape.
I mean, I
hey, go to my website.
I do a little bit.
Excuse my voice. I've had a little something cackling at me for a while. My daughter's got it. Hi, Emily. I know you're listening to the show. She's at Gettysburg College. She's up there playing softball, and she made the dean's list this week, Roy.
Oh, that's proud.
I'm doing a DNA check next week because it can't be my kid.
You know how many dean's lists I made in my life?
I'm sure that makes your daughter really
what? I've never made the. I never made the dean's list.
Dean who?
Yeah, I mean
exactly. Dean Spanos.
I made. I was on the honor roll like eighth grade. I think was the last time I made it. And it was.
That's what I was doing in eighth grade.
Well, I don't what playing football. I made the honor roll. Like I made the honor roll in eighth grade for the last time in order to get a dog. I made a deal with my parents.
All right.
Like, if I get straight A's, I get a dog, and I got like a. I got all A's and a B, and they bought me a dog, and ever since then, I didn't do anything.
All right, sorry. Hey, let's finish up the Baltimore game. Who would you give the MVP on the offense for Baltimore for in that game? You got to give it to Flacco.
I guess
Flacco?
So. I
mean, can't give it to Rice.
He stepped up. I give it. I mean, Torrey Smith was the first person that came to mind.
Three catches, though.
Yeah, but he...
30 yards a
yeah,
catch.
Yeah, but when you say that... The tight ends played a major role in that game.
They did.
That's because Torrey Smith takes the top off of a defense.
Well, you know what? They double covered Torrey Smith.
And Torrey Smith turned the corner
play. They put their best corner on Torrey Smith.
Which leaves Anquan Boldin for his six catches and his 100 yards. I mean, you can easily give it to Anquan Boldin as much as you can give it to Torrey Smith or Flacco for that point. But, I mean, Flacco
played well enough to win. He
exactly.
just didn't make the play at the end of the game.
Exactly.
And the last pass he threw wasn't a very good pass.
Joe Flacco played well enough to win, and he played well enough to get a new contract.
If he completes that pass before the field goal,
then Joe Flacco
they've got
is
first,
a hero.
They're first in goal. Now, yeah. I'm not talking about the one that was dropped. I'm talking about the one that he threw behind the guy.
Oh, Pitta?
Yes.
The third and one
if
play.
He completes that, they call timeout. They got time to get it in the end zone
Well,
again.
If he runs it for the first down and calls a timeout, or if he jumps it to Ray Rice, who's wide open for the first down. I mean, Flacco had a great game until about the last set of downs, and then he fell apart. And is that really his fault? No, because Lee Evans dropped a ball. You know,
that was a good pass. I mean, he threaded the needle.
It's
there.
A perfect ball, but
sure.
I mean, that's crunch time. That's when an Eli Manning comes through.
All right, on defense, who do you give it to?
Hello, Nada, who was my go-to guy all week. I said Hello, Nada has to have a big game in order to free everybody up, and he did. He had a great game. He had a bunch of pat down, batted balls, and I mean, he had a great game.
Now Brady. Wasn't pressured terribly in that game. I thought Baltimore
really wasn't. They sat.
Well,
back.
That's been their biggest problem against Texas. They didn't put any pressure on that kid either.
Well, they sat
AJ
back.
Yates.
I mean, that was.
They didn't put any pressure on him either. I think that's that's an area they need to look at though in the offseason.
Yeah, but that was Pagano's like that was the way he did defense. He sat back and pressured with his front guys. He sent four like. Regularly. That's what he did.
And Ed Reed did a pretty good job.
Ed Reed did a great job.
Yeah, he didn't look that hurt either. He looked okay.
Yeah.
There ain't no doubt in my mind Ed Reed Ed Reed gets a little help because that guy could play till he's 40. There's no doubt in my mind.
They'll both be back.
And you know what? He doesn't lose. He hasn't lost a lot of speed. Ed Reed still runs pretty good.
Yeah.
It's just that his joints have to be bone on bone. Wouldn't you say?
I mean, mine joints are bone on bone. I can't imagine how.
And you're 25. I'm Bruce Hall. Roy's joints are bone on bone. He's 25. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm a lot older than that. All right, let's do this. I'm going to tell you who my MVP was. My MVP for the Patriots was Benjarvis Green-Ellis, and I'll tell you why. When he had two early in the game, he kind of took over between the tackles, and he ran really well.
He did.
And I'll tell you another on defense. You're going to laugh. Please don't laugh, but it's Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman played 54 snaps and played the corner. They moved their all-pro corner to safety 3 weeks ago because he gave up 1,100 yards worth of passes this year.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, that kid can play anywhere. We're going to talk about Edelman later because a lot of people don't know anything about Julian Edelman. All they know, a lot of him, is that he got in trouble in a bar on Halloween night and the lady dropped the charges.
He must have been hanging out with Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, he reached for a beer and it was in a bad place. And the girl said, I have a beer, but it's not there where you grabbed. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Roy G. All right, let's talk about the Giant game. Now, you liked
San Francisco.
Tell me why you like San Francisco. Just tell me why you picked the 49ers -2.5 mm-hmm. to win that game.
Defense.
All right.
I picked them first.
Solely
defense. They didn't give up. They gave up, one running touchdown all season, and it was Christmas?
No, they gave up three because they gave up two the last week.
Okay, their first.
Gave up one the week before.
Their first rushing touchdown didn't come defensively.
Absolutely.
Came Christmas. And they clinched, and then they gave up two more.
They
played lights out on defense.
I think you can say that they had the best defense in the NFL this year, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that was an old school defense. That was an old school football team.
How many of those guys played for Singletary? About half of them.
Mm-hmm. Right? I just saw it was at home. They have a lights out defense. It's a big game.
It was going to be wet. It did rain the whole game,
which favors. Run. Yeah, that means you got to run the ball.
Favors the run.
Yeah, and
absolutely. So it was high tide too.
So you're going to tell me that in a running football game, what was supposed to be a running football game,
right?
That a defense who would let up their first rushing touchdown at Christmas.
Well, let me ask you this: what surprised you the most about the game? Let's talk about the first half first, because this game really had two halves.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a great football game. I mean, this was exactly what you wanted out of a football game. The first half was. The 49ers. I mean, they came out banging heads. They came out playing great defense. I mean, you can't say that the 49ers defense didn't do their job because they did their job all game. They were banging Eli Manning.
Absolutely. You know, they had 90 offensive plays, the New York Giants did, to play defense for 90 plays. Do you know what kind of shape you have to be able to do that? I mean, and these guys did a good job. You know, I'm not convinced without the turnovers late in the game, and I know we're talking about the first half still, but without those turnovers, I don't know if they're not still playing right now because I don't know who was going to score. Mm-hmm. Neither team looked like they could move the football, did they?
Well, you
against the defenses.
I mean, you sat here last week and said that the player that was going to make the most difference to you was Teddy Ginn Jr. not playing.
Exactly.
And I don't know.
The special teams have meant so much to San Francisco all year.
I kind of laughed last week and said, do you really think it's going to be Ted Ginn? I mean, come on now. Ted Ginn Jr.
You know what? I just had a damn deja vu flashback. I remember you doing that. Let me slap you.
You couldn't have been more right. I mean, the special teams play was the difference in the game. The play where the ball hits the guy in the leg and he goes back and Devin Thomas of
same
all
guy,
people.
Same guy. Former Redskin. Jeez. Who'd have thunk it?
Picks up the ball, and then he bobbles one with time running down. That was an overtime.
It was an overtime. Yeah, it was on a punt return. Ball just came loose. The guy reached in, ball came loose.
You got to catch that
ball. Well, that was a ball game if the kicker makes the field goal. And basically, they got one first down.
I mean, special
kicked
teams.
Kicked it on third down and won.
Special teams
are
has
everything.
To be, I mean, come on. The Harbaughs. you guys got to get something together with your special teams. Well, hire a special team coach or
now
something.
Listen,
I mean,
this
that was...
guy did. Now, listen, you remember his first punt return or first kickoff return? It was a hell of a kickoff return. He had a punt return that was a good return. He just put the ball. He made one terrible mistake. Number one, get away from the ball if it hits the ground. If the ball, we learned that a long time ago in football, right? If the ball hits the ground, don't be anywhere near it and keep your eye on the ball just in case it bounces directly at you at warp speed.
Yeah, you got to have
which it can do.
There's dead words and kill words. You know, I mean that's high school 101, freshman football. If the ball hits the ground, you're yelling Peter, 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 or whatever your dead word is.
Peter.
That was our.
We yelled fire, fire, fire.
Yeah, fire, fire, bingo. I mean, there was all kinds of kill words.
Actually, in club ball, we just yelled obscenities, actually, in club ball, we were too busy going to the keg. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You're listening to Roy G. We're breaking down Roy G. and Bruce Hall. We're breaking down last week's games. They were great games to watch. You know, I had the under for a bundle, you know, 5 stars in the National Handicappers Bowl. And I said, when I saw this first quarter, I'm going to hit the under. I mean, this under looks pretty locked up. Whoever scores 2 touchdowns, I think is going to win this game. Well, it did take 2 touchdowns to win the game, but both teams scored 2 touchdowns. Yeah. And both touchdowns early, San Francisco, they run a little wheel route to Vernon Davis, and I don't know what Antrell Roll from the U was doing on that play, but he looked like he was reading the paper because he ran by him like he was standing still, and that, you know, to Alex Smith's credit, was a beautiful pass. Hit him right in the hands. It looked like he stepped out on about the 30, but he didn't. He was on his balls of his feet, and his heel, even though it looked out of bounds, was up in the air. Great call by the official. Touchdown, San Francisco. I'm not feeling quite as good right then after I see that, because this is a team that can score, you know, that can play defense and almost shut you out, Roy, no matter who you are.
Yeah, and play right. the field position battle.
Absolutely. We're going to be back in a minute. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. See you soon.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. And you guys are lucky that you got to listen to whatever you were listening to in the break, because I had to listen to Bruce singing.
I'm sorry.
And it was terrible.
Who are you, Charles Barkley?
They call me
Circumference.
To put it in Charles Barkley terms, it was terrible.
I love Charles Barkley. It's hard not to like him.
I love Charles Barkley when he knows what he's talking about.
Well, that's very rarely.
Yeah, I know.
It's very rarely.
When I love Charles Barkley.
Roy, it sounds good coming out of his mouth, though. I mean, he does. You know, he's an Auburn boy. And Ron Middleton, who is an assistant coach at Duke University, is one of my best friends. Coaches down there with David Cutcliffe. Go Blue Devils. They did the nicest thing for me. I'm going to give them a shout-out to the Duke Athletic Department, the Duke football program, David Cutcliffe, Ron Middleton, and company. One of my best friends passed away from cancer last year, and he was the biggest Duke fan you ever saw, even football. More basketball, but even football.
Yeah, I hope
Hey, they sent an arrangement of flowers, and they sent a letter to the funeral. And, I mean, they didn't have to do that.
Duke?
I just made a call, and they did it for this guy. I mean, that is class.
Yeah, it's pretty class.
That is class. That's character. Let's talk about the Pats. I'm gonna run some stuff at you, Roy, that you might have known. I'm sure you do. Bob Kraft didn't buy the Pats till 1994. He was a Patriot fan forever. And when he bought the Pats, his wife, you know, almost really didn't want him to do it because she was kind of worried about, you know, all kinds of things, I'm sure, and how he would take the losing, because they weren't very good back then.
I was about to say.
You know, they had their time when they played the Chicago Bears in the Super Bowl. When Mike Ditka was the coach of the Bears, and Raymond Berry was the coach of the Patriots, and Anthony Collins, AC from East Carolina University, was their starting running back.
I mean, when I was growing up, the Patriots.
How many people up there in New England know who Anthony Collins is? Send me a Facebook comment, Bruce Hall Sports Facebook page, and I want to know if you know AC, and if you know AC, you know he just got in the East Carolina Hall of Fame this year. They just voted him in.
Yeah, I mean, when I was growing up, the Patriots were all, I mean, they were nobodies.
Man, these donuts are good.
They were pretty irrelevant.
You know, now I realize why I'm not allowed to eat donuts anymore. I could probably eat a dozen.
I mean, they're Krispy Kreme. I mean, when we went to
you dropped a name.
I love Krispy Kreme donuts.
I do too. Hey, the original Krispy Kreme was in Bailey's Crossroads. You know what? You know what a Krispy Kreme donut cost the first day they were open? 3 cents.
I don't know, but I know that
three cents. That was 1964, maybe.
Every time we played Mount Vernon High School, we drove by the Krispy Kreme
and their
factory.
And when they're hot,
and when we won,
and
we got to stop the bus at Krispy Kreme. So we always
don't stop at donut shops.
Well,
let me just tell you that
play wrestling.
We stop and buy granola and apples and bananas.
I played real sports.
Hey, you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Anyway, Kraft bought the Pats in 94. They've hosted 15 playoff games at home since then, 13-2 mark. Kraft hired Belichick in 2000 after he'd only produced one winning season in 5 years in Cleveland. Evidently, producing a winner in Cleveland seems to be a virus. Anyway, Belichick seemed to stay ahead of any salary cap issues because he strips emotion from any decision that he makes personnel-wise. And he has let a lot of good friends go. I mean, think about all the daggone all-pros he has just let go because he can't afford to pay him. He doesn't mess around with that. He'd rather have more good players in numbers and make better defenders, make better defensive backs.
Yeah, but he's got Tom Brady.
Plus, he's paying Tom Brady $1 billion
a
year.
I mean, he let the little guys go. Let's be serious here. I mean, Tom Brady got his money. He got paid.
All right, Belichick, you know what his record is? 191 and 103. It's 191, 2 and 103 now. He's led New England. This is the most impressive stat of all. He's led the Patriots to 11 consecutive winning seasons. 11 winning seasons. That's like the New York Yankees when they can get to spend $300 million a year on a team.
Okay, well, here's my question for you.
Sure.
Is it Belichick or is it Brady? Really?
I think it's both.
Really?
Look, Roy, you have a very short attention span, even for what things you even say.
Tom Brady.
Brady sucks. He's on his way
down.
He's been bad all year.
Come on now. Let's not twist what I'm
saying
here.
People, send my, please, what is it, sportsmancave.com?
Yeah.
Send Roy a nasty note telling him how he was just dissing Tom Brady. What, Matt? An hour ago? Not even an hour ago. He was dissing Tom Brady.
Well, that was
now
before the
all
show.
Of a sudden, Tom Brady is God.
That was before
it's
the show.
It's Sunday,
so
Tom Brady
they
is
haven't
God.
Heard me say that. But
every time that Roy wants to make a point with something he wants to do, he just kind of turns everything around. You know what we call guys like that?
Little loser. Here.
No.
Yeah, that's exactly what we call. That's what
me.
I was calling you last
I
week.
Said, what I said was. Is that Tom Brady is past his prime. He's still a top five quarterback.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
But he's past his prime.
I agreed with you. Remember?
And what I'm saying, yeah, no, I agree.
Okay, I agree with you.
But what I'm
saying
is
Joe Flacco past his prime.
Joe Flacco never had a prime.
But
what I'm saying is,
are you telling me he's not grade A prime?
Belichick has Brady, okay?
Yes, he does.
So he rode the Brady train.
Look at his backfield. Who else has he got? Look at his offensive line. Who else has he got? Look at his defense. What has he got? Well, what are they this year? 14-3.
I think that proves my.
Excuse me.
I think that proves my point.
No,
is
no.
that Brady can make nobody's stars. Say like we're
you'll
saying,
never be a coach.
Like we're
because
saying,
if you
well,
can't,
I've been a coach,
yeah.
But,
well, you're a pretty lousy one then. Because if you can't notice that Bill Belichick has made a difference with this team with his coaching philosophies and changing up things from week to week.
Yeah, he is.
Of course, he is. He's the best defensive coordinator in football now.
He's a good prep coach, but
he's a great
is
coach.
It, yeah, but how many he's done with Brady? And that
yeah, but Brady hasn't been his only guy.
Well, it was the only guy he won
with.
Yeah,
Drew Bledsoe 1 year, and people talk about what a punk Drew Bledsoe was.
Okay, and he didn't win a Super Bowl with Bledsoe, did he?
Is he going to be an HOA? No, but he made the playoffs with him and won
a
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl with him.
No, but Tom Brady was like this sixth-round pick from, was it sixth or seventh?
Sixth.
Sixth-round pick from Michigan. By the way, great article on Brady.
Did what? Just happened to morph into one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah, he did.
So what?
It was fun watching him run the 60, though, at the Combine. I think I run faster backwards, and I have one good leg.
What I'm telling you is Belichick couldn't do this in Cleveland.
You didn't think that was funny?
Okay.
I'm not going to invite these people back if they don't laugh at my jokes.
Belichick couldn't win in Cleveland, okay?
No, well, who can win in Cleveland?
Well, somebody will.
He wasn't the GM there.
Somebody
and he was there
will
4 years. You know what?
But then he comes to New England, and he falls into Tom Brady. And now rides the Tom Brady coattail. Now what I'm saying,
saying Tom Brady's a lot like Peyton Manning.
Well, yes, and what I'm,
so you're making comparisons. The two guys, those are two of the best quarterbacks in football.
Yeah, and when Brady goes down, Matt Castle, you know, he did an okay job and enough to get a contract out of it, but he was not Tom Brady.
All right.
And I'm saying you take Tom Brady off of those seasons, and Belichick. Probably
No! Wait a second! Wait a second! You're trying to tell me Castle didn't do a good job in New England? They went to the playoffs.
He had one season in
New
England.
Yeah, but how good is Castle?
Went to the playoffs.
Scale of 1 to 10. What is Castle? 6.
Well,
6.
I'm not 6. I'm not ready to say that yet because he's been
Brady's a 9. Castle's a 6.
Castle has been banged up, and
so there was no coaching going on even when Castle was there. I'm sure.
Look. Belichick's a great coach, but everyone wants to put him on this pedestal.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
You know, I'm going to take that from you one of these days and just make your points look stupid.
Loser here.
But look, Belichick is a great coach, but he's not the greatest of all time that people are trying to make him out to be.
I disagree. I think he is. Who are you going to say is better than him? Don't say Vince Lombardi.
Nope.
He had the best players in all of football playing for him.
I would say Vince Lombardi, but Vince Lombardi didn't. Listen to me. Vince Lombardi didn't have the salary, you know, like the salary cap, the free agency.
Belichick has underwear that are older than the time that Lombardi coached in pro football.
You want to hear who's better than him? You want to hear
Lombardi coached for 9 years.
You want to hear who is the greatest head coach of all time?
Don't say George Allen. I'll smack you right here.
His name is Joe Gibbs.
Oh, God.
That is the greatest.
Talk about homers.
No. Talk about. Listen to me.
Yeah,
listen.
You know what I liked about him?
Listen.
Even when he came back, he was phenomenal.
He was. He's the best coach. Listen.
I mean, this guy couldn't lose for anything.
Are you going to listen to what I have to say?
I'll force myself.
Listen, Belichick.
How
many quarterbacks has Belichick won a Super Bowl with?
Oh, now you're going to use different.
How many?
So it's Bill Belichick's fault when he's being compared to another coach, that the fact that he hasn't done it with three different average to above. Now you got to say one thing. He won it with Doug Williams when Doug Williams was he wasn't even the starting quarterback that year. Jay Schrader was.
He was a nobody. He was a nobody.
Oh, no, he was never a nobody. He was
he got
Tampa Bay.
Kicked out of Tampa.
He was the first black quarterback in the NFL.
And he got.
Basically.
Well, one
of the first quarterbacks.
He got kicked out of Tampa because he couldn't win there.
Who could win there?
Joe Gibbs just happened to know he was in Tampa because Gibbs was in camp.
What took him over? What is the soundbite on John McKay that's world renowned? They asked him about the execution of his team that day in the game, and what did he say? I'm in favor of it.
Look,
he wanted them executed. They were terrible.
Look,
they were like 1-13 every year.
What other coach has ever done what Joe Gibbs did, winning multiple Super Bowls with multiple quarterbacks? Two. Name one coach.
Well, I mean,
just name one.
Well, multiples two, right? I'd say you got. Well, did
who?
Did Sims? No, yeah. I would. No. Sims only was in one Super Bowl. Hostetler was the starting quarterback in the one in Tampa. So Parcells won with Phil Simms, and then when Phil Simms broke his leg, Jeff Hostetler was the starting quarterback in Tampa because I was there, and that was during Operation Desert Storm. Okay?
Okay.
Don't even go to your computer. I will throw that thing up against the wall. I'm telling you, he did it with two quarterbacks. But that's just...
And Joe Gibbs did it with three.
But that doesn't,
and they were backups.
That doesn't make Parcells...
And they were backups.
Listen to me. That doesn't make Parcells any better than Belichick just because he had two different quarterbacks. He had the best... He had LT. His defense was unbelievable.
Okay, well, the Redskins, were their defense
unbelievable? And you know what? If Scott Norwood hits a 42-yard field goal that doesn't sail wide right, they don't win their second Super Bowl with Parcells because Buffalo at halftime was up by 9 points, and then they end up losing at the end of the game. Hey, who was their star running back for the Giants? These Giant people are going to love me. O.J. Anderson. I mean, the guy was unbelievable. He rushed for over 100 yards in that game, probably had 25, 30 carries. He was unbelievable. Their wideouts were little bitty guys. The Giants back then. Phil McConkey, guys like that.
Phil Simms was on both Super Bowl
teams. Yeah, no, he was on both teams, but he didn't play in the second Super Bowl. Jeff Hostetler did because Phil Sims broke his leg. He had a broken
leg. But who got him there? Phil Sims.
No, Hostetler.
Phil Sims.
He broke his leg halfway during the season.
Come on now, man.
Hey,
come on.
Hostetler's a West Virginia boy, and you don't know that. I'm Bruce Saul. We'll be back. If you don't hear Roy's voice, Slayer, it's because he's unconscious.
Welcome back to AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Thank God for reading glasses. You got to have at least five pairs sitting around me because I'll break two of them. I'll sit on them. Talking greatest coaches of all time, Gibbs versus Parcells. Now, you know what we're going to do now? We're not going to talk about that. I'm going to tell you why. We got to talk about the Giants here because we're going to talk about last week's game and when the Giants knew that the game was over. When do you think they knew the game was over? As soon as that ball hit the ground?
Yeah, as soon as he bobbled it.
Now, their kicker, remember we talked about special teams, and you pointed out that I thought that Ted Ginn Jr. being out, and he never did practice last week, and from what I understand, he may even have surgery. But Ted Ginn Jr. being out, big difference. He did lead the NFC in kickoff return yardage. Pretty sure. I think it was him and Devin Hester were like two of the best. Hester really, after those guys lost – they lost. The Bears were 7-3. Then they won one game the rest of the year. I was listening to somebody talk about the Bears. I was listening to an interview from Richard Dent, who was a Super Bowl MVP of that year. I want to say it was 84, 85 when Ditka won it. Remember? The Fridge, all those guys. But I think, honestly, I think it was when they won the toss. They were winning the field position game a little bit too. You know, they had a great they got a lot of yardage out of their kicker. You know, both kickers, both punters, did a phenomenal job. One of them's at the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, the San Francisco kicker is
and the other guy is awesome. Really kicked just as well as he did. Maybe not quite as far, but there was not a lot of return. There was one good punt return the whole game for San Francisco. I thought that the Giant defense. You know, except for those two touchdown passes to Vernon Davis, I thought they did a great job. You know,
the Pro Bowl, both Pro Bowl, the punter and the place kicker for San Francisco are starting for the NFC Pro Bowl today.
So I would say, you know, they definitely had the special teams nod, even though New York has some good athletes that are on their special teams. The thing that New York has had since. I kind of got on them, and I want to say that was like game 6-7 this year. Remember, they lost four in a row, but they played four really good teams, and they played three of them very tough. They went to New Orleans. It looked like they mailed that one in. If the Giants mailed a game in this year, it was in New Orleans because that's like playing in Drew Brees' basement with carpet, you know, and there just happens to be 80,000 screaming Cajuns there, you know. It's hard to win in New Orleans, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it's –
And it's loud, and it's artificial turf. The Giants are a good outdoor team. We talked about Eli last week being a really good wet ball quarterback. He did a good job last week.
He did. No, he did a great job. I went so far as to say that I thought that Eli was a better outdoor quarterback than his brother.
I think he is,
simply
too,
because he plays,
he's there.
Yeah.
Well, we saw – now, Indy came – I saw Indianapolis play somebody outside – and I know, well, it was Super Bowl a few years ago when they beat Chicago and Rex Grossman. Oh, my God.
That was in Tampa.
Yeah. No. It was in Miami. Right. It was in Miami.
Same thing.
It rained. No, wrong coast.
Same thing.
Hey, take a plane to Tampa then and see how quick you can get to Miami from there. But anyway, the thing of it is that it was wet. And it was freezing, too, for Miami. It was like 50 degrees, 45, 50 degrees. Downpour, basically, the whole game. And, you know, he didn't have a very good game. And but they won anyway because Rex Grossman didn't have a very good game either.
He got the MVP.
Sure he did.
Because his name's Peyton Manning.
Well, he's Peyton Manning, and it was pouring down rain. Everybody felt sorry for him for having to be out there in the rain and play. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Roy G. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Go to my website, Bruce Hall Sports, and chime in on some of the things you'll find on there on my blog. You can always listen to our show on BruceHallSports.com. You can go to WFAS AM 1230, WFAS in New York, and you can hear it on there when they stream it live. So anyway, what I'd like you to do right now, Roy,
yes,
is tell me who the MVP of that game was last week, San Francisco game.
Oh, man. You know, you could make a case for it being Devin Thomas.
No, God.
I'm serious.
Don't go there.
You can make a case being Devin
Thomas.
Do it
with somebody that got in more than five plays.
No, I mean, I'm not going to do it, Devin Thomas, but you could make a case as Devin Thomas as he came up.
Why don't you make him your co-MVP?
He came up with the turning point of that football game in those two fumble recoveries on the special teams. So you can make that case, but, I mean, Eli Manning was getting beat up and got up and led his team to the Super Bowl.
You can make it be Devin Thomas and him. You know why? Cuz I'm going to have Coz too. My co MVPs are Eli Manning,
uh-huh,
and Victor Cruz. Victor Cruz was the offense in the first half. He caught 10 passes for what, 140 yards.
10 receptions, 142 yards.
I mean, the kid's basically a rookie. He didn't catch a pass last year.
I mean, he balled out.
Great article in one of the New York papers this week, that talked about how Eli Manning got together with his receivers when the lockout was in progress. And they used to work out at some just raggedy dirt field somewhere in either North Jersey or New York. I want to say it was in, you know, North Jersey somewhere near the stadium. They were locked out of the stadium. They were locked out of their complex. They were locked out of everywhere. And then one guy that made it to every single workout was Eli Manning and Victor Cruz.
Well, all week they've been talking to Amani Toomer on literally every single station that has to talk about the New York Giants. I feel like I've been listening to him all week on a million different stations. And what he says about Eli Manning when Eli first came into the league is that most first overall draft picks, or first rounders for that case, come in and kind of do this nonchalant, like, I'm a big shot, walk through, you know, when you have just the helmets on and the gym shorts, kind of taking it easy in stride, you know, kind of working their way into the system, where Toomer said that Eli came in sprinting, where he would not do walkthroughs. He would sprint through his walkthroughs, and he would run through his drills. And he came in as a rookie and kind of not so much with his voice led the team, but with his action. And now you see Eli leading more with his voice, and he's starting to speak up a little bit more. The guy is
– he's always been a leader.
He's a leader. He is. And you might not have heard it when he first came to the league.
You don't lead with your voice. You lead with the way you play.
Right.
You lead by example. And that's what coaches talk
about.
And
he caught some crap for it the first couple of years in the league.
He's in New York, too. I mean, everybody there, let's face it, New Yorkers like to talk.
And a
guy that can't communicate with his mouth, they can't really relate to him sometimes.
Well, it didn't help that
he's from Louisiana.
His running back, who was loved in New York, was
Tiki Barber?
Was smacking him around.
Tiki Barber couldn't even make it on the Today Show. How do you not make it on the Today Show?
Well,
Matt
Tiki,
Lauer made it on the Today Show.
Tiki,
hello?
Tiki
hey,
lost.
Matt,
Tiki,
great gig, buddy.
Tiki lost all credibility when he became part of the media and was smacking down the Giants, talking about how they can't win and they can't do this and blah, blah, blah. I was there. I was in that locker room. And then they win a Super Bowl. And guess who?
Guess who didn't get a ring?
And guess who's there interviewing the Super Bowl MVP Giants quarterback but Tiki Barber? And Tiki's like, so, Eli, What was it? And Eli, this is kind of a smack back to Tiki. Eli was like, well, you know, we had the right guys.
Yeah, we did.
And it's like,
I remember
you
that.
You know, we had the right guys in place. We had a good locker room. You know, we had the right guys.
Hey.
And that just shows you that Eli can throw punches too. You know what I mean?
You know
he's
what?
A tough,
listen,
he's a tough cookie.
And let me tell you, we talked about this all year. Who does he talk to every day? Peyton.
Yeah.
Who may be the best offensive coordinator for his offense in the world? Peyton Manning. You don't think Eli's a good offensive coordinator one day? Eli Manning can go out there, run the no huddle, and beat anybody. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Welcome back, New York. This is AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. I'm Roy G. Sitting here with Mr. Bruce Hall. I have to call you Mr. because you're about
I'm
as old.
Old
as my dad.
I'm old enough to be your grandfather.
And we are talking.
No, we're talking.
Giants right now.
G-Men, baby.
Right now.
Hey, Road Warriors. Eli is now 5-1 on the road in playoff games. If that doesn't mean you're a Road Warrior, nothing does. And I got to tell you something.
The line. Sorry to interrupt you, but the line just moved on the Pro Bowl. It's 5 points now for the NFC.
You know what? I like the AFC, but 5 is a lot more than 3.5. This is not a good game to play, and I'm guessing that if it moves any more, just leave it alone because that's too much late movement. What it tells you is there are people in Vegas right now pounding the casinos. That are spending the week in there, the week before the Super Bowl. The busiest weekend all year is Super Bowl weekend in Las Vegas. And I've never done it because I've always been at Super Bowls for the most part. But one day I've got to do it. I've got to do it because it's got to be fun.
I mean, this game's not
You can compare all the lines. You can walk up and down the strip and find the team you like and get the best line for your team.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's an entire point difference.
I mean,
you pull up the lines for me? Is that what you're doing now?
That's what
What's the line right now on the ball game? 3.5 or 3?
For a Pro Bowl?
New England, no.
Oh,
Super Bowl.
I haven't looked.
He's going to pull up Super Bowl.
Last I looked at the Super Bowl, though, it was 3.5.
Yeah, 3.5. My side is the dog. Right now, if you held a
gun... I don't
know
how you give New England 3 points, 3.5.
You mean give New York, you mean?
Right.
Yeah, but you know why you do? They're labeling this the payback. This is the payback game. Everybody thinks it's the payback game.
It's 3 points.
Listen, the Giants. I don't see any way that the athletes that play, unless they turn the ball over 3 or 4 times and Brady throws for 350, 400 yards,
I mean,
and Gronkowski's ankle isn't as bad as it looks like it is, I don't see how they're going to beat him, let alone
three
cover.
3 points is a lot to give because of basically.
It's a lot to give the hottest team in football,
The reason why they're getting the 3 points is Belichick.
Well,
Belichick's prep time and he's going to be able to study the Giants tape from last time.
Did you read my blog? Did you look at my Facebook page? Did you see what I said everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
I said, book air Fly to Vegas.
Yeah.
Take the points.
Well, yeah. I said to you. If I had them as
2 to 3 point favorites, yeah. The Giants. That's a 5 to 6 point difference in spread.
I said if I'm taking the bus to the studio next, you know, in 2 weeks, then you'll know why. It's because I bet my car on this game. I mean, I don't – 3 points for the Belichick prep time is a bit much. I mean, I could see this as, like, maybe the Patriots won or, like, kind of throw it as a toss game. Then maybe I'd look at it a little differently, or you give the Giants a 2. Then maybe I'd look at it. But, I mean, 3 points.
What's the total? 55?
England, yeah, 55.
You know, it's probably going to go over this time because they're indoors. Super Bowls, historically, those flags come from everywhere on long passes. Send a guy into the end zone and throw it.
I'm looking at this Pro Bowl.
It's interference right now. Probably.
And this Pro Bowl lines, they look like...
What is it now?
It looks like a college game. It's 5 for the NFC. The NFC is minus 5.
What's the total? 70?
74.
Well, that's ridiculous. Take the under. Take it.
That is...
Ray Lewis isn't going to let it go to 74.
What is
that? If he plays, he won't let it go to 74. He'll have that defense for the AFC beating people up.
That's funny.
Well, it's like the NBA All-Star game. What's the total in the NBA All-Star game? They don't play any defense in that either.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean...
It's pretty funny. But anyway, listen, this coming week, there's a lot of things that are going to determine what happens in the game next Sunday. One of the biggest things that the Patriot team has to worry about and Belichick has to worry about is the Giants when they rush four defenders and they get to the quarterback. If they get to Brady with four guys rushing, and they do that, by the way, 84% of the time, they're going to win the game. Last Super Bowl that they played 4 years ago, they sacked Brady 5 times and they had 9 quarterback hits. Now, when they played him this year, they only had 2 sacks and 3 quarterback hits. So they did make some changes. And, that's good. But when the Giants, I don't understand how this works. When the Giants send 5 or more, they don't get to Brady. Brady has a lot better numbers. And they even keep more people in. What happens is when Brady gets enough time, he's super dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
But when you come up the middle at him, like happened last week, he has problems.
Yeah. I mean, when Haloti Ngata is
the top
of
his
game.
He's not Ben Roethlisberger.
No, he's not.
No.
I mean, no. He's not even close to Ben Roethlisberger in the stability point. In the... moving in the pocket and taking big hits. That's when he's not Ben Roethlisberger. But when you give Brady time and you give Roethlisberger time, I mean, come on now, it's Tom Brady. That's when it's Tom Brady, when he has that line to protect him. When Haloti Ngata is making your line look like a bunch of punks, then Tom Brady turns into this Tom Brady that we've seen the last 3 postseasons.
What I see happening next week is I don't see the Patriots – I think they played their defensive game last week. I don't see them getting any better.
The Patriots?
Yeah. I don't see their defense getting any better against Eli and the Giants because
I don't think their defense played very well last week.
No, I don't. Well, yeah, you don't, but I think when you give up 20 points and you're the New England Patriot defense and it's a playoff game and it's the Baltimore Ravens, I think that's all you had to do.
Yeah, but the Baltimore Ravens.
I said that
Ravens,
you had to score more than 20 points to win this game, and you did.
Yeah, but the Baltimore Ravens.
How many points did they score?
The Baltimore Ravens scored 20. But the
man, you are one pathetic loser.
The Baltimore Ravens
20 points.
They're not a high-scoring football team.
They
though.
Had
That's
a
not
wide
what they
receiver
do.
Playing corner for the Patriots. And by the way,
yeah,
that last
drive, they made him look stupid.
No, I mean, but they went right down the field, too.
The Patriots, you can't defend the Patriots' defense because
I'm not
going to
defend
terrible.
Them, but who's in the Super Bowl, Roy?
Yeah, they backed into
the
Super Bowl.
What are the Ravens doing? Rice didn't even want to go to the Pro Bowl. He cried about being injured.
The Patriots backed into a Super Bowl.
The last series.
The Patriots backed into a Super Bowl, and now they've backed into.
Well, they're
favorites.
In. They're
yeah,
in.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. They're in. Congratulations, New England. You're going to
nobody
get blown
asked.
Out.
Hey, nope. Hey, nobody asked how. They asked how many, and they won the game.
Yeah, they did. Okay, they beat the Ravens.
All right. Well, so
the Ravens beat themselves.
Well, here's what I think. We haven't heard from Brandon Jacobs in a while. I think Brandon Jacobs is going to get the ball 15 times next week, and I think because we have a problem with Ahmad Bradshaw. He's got a really bad foot. He's got screws holding his foot together. Did you know that? He's got screws holding his foot together. He's had a problem with his feet since college, and he doesn't know how long he's going to be playing. I read an interview that he gave this week. He doesn't know how long he's going to be playing in the pros, but he knows this. He'll be ready next week, and he's going to do all he's got to do. His teammates think he's a warrior. They just love him because he wants the ball. He wants to hit you as hard as he can, and he's quick enough to get to the outside. He can hit the corner. You know, so can Jacobs. If Jacobs gets to the corner, you're in trouble. The thing I hate about Jacobs is when he's not going north and south, he's wasting his time. In my opinion.
Well, he's not a dance-around kind of guy.
No, he shouldn't be. But
not at all.
No, he shouldn't be, and he's not a great receiver out of the backfield either. By the way, the NHL All-Star Game, you talked about it. I hate to jump to this real quick, but it's being played today. You know, I don't even know who the MVP is going to be. Have you been following the Rangers a little bit? They're not bad this year, aren't they?
Well, they're the best team.
Aren't they in first place?
Yeah, in the East.
Now, so they've got several guys playing, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to be watching the NHL All-Star Game later today, for sure. Let's talk about Peyton Manning real quick before we forget.
Mm-hmm.
This week and last week, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, what's going on in Indianapolis. Everything I read on Twitter, everything I read in articles, everything I read on blogs has to do with the same thing. Nobody knows anybody there. A lot of people have been let go. Coaches, Peyton Manning's trainer isn't even there anymore. The trainer for the Colts was let go. Okay? Eight of their coaches were let go. Now they've got a head coach. At least they're going to start adding some faces there. But this past week, things kind of got a little warm between Peyton and Irsay. And what Irsay said was, well, Peyton's getting a little too political here. Hey, excuse me, for 13 years, who's been the face of your franchise? Mm-hmm. Who has filled your seats there? Who should be able to say whatever he wants to say as long as he's not putting a cuss word in it?
He didn't really talk that bad about the team either.
No,
all he said was it's a little different. The locker, that you know, the building's a little sad because everyone's leaving.
He
you don't know who's going to be there anymore, which is the truth.
Absolute truth.
You know, I mean, that's what's going on in Indy.
Well, that's
Indy
what
right
people
now.
Who ask you questions want, the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, can't handle the truth.
Yeah, sorry that your stud quarterback who's basically saved your job.
Yeah, first team Hall of Famer.
You know.
By the way, what's your name? Irsay? Oh, yeah. Okay, never mind. I understand.
It's. I mean, come on.
He's got to take bully lessons from the best bully of them all, Dan Snyder. If he wants to be a bully, don't bully Peyton Manning.
No.
But the team, listen to this. The team released a joint message yesterday.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Irsay and Peyton.
Yeah, Peyton and Irsay got together and it was released. It was a statement. To me, that means nothing. That means nothing.
We're really happy together and we're still going to stay happy.
Yeah, we don't want you to think that there's a problem with us.
No, there's a big problem.
Hey, let me tell you something.
They're terrible and Peyton Manning's leaving. There's a big problem in Indianapolis.
Here's what I think. Here's what I think the problem. Here's what I think is going to happen this week. And you think I'm crazy, but it's Super Bowl week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who are the hosts? Indianapolis.
The MLS Colts.
Okay. Who's the face of their franchise still?
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. Okay. Especially when you win one or two games. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Edgerrin James.
Yeah. Edgerrin James.
Edgerrin James is your.
Yeah. Bob Sanders, who, you know, disappeared because his body broke. I'm afraid, you know, Jason LaConfora, who's a big wig with NFL Network and he's, you know, an insider and all this stuff, mm-hmm. he came out this week, Roy, and said Peyton Manning was basically let go 2 months ago. It's just that they haven't made the announcement yet. You know, now listen, I have only known Jason to miss one thing in like years. I don't think this is one of them. I think that the decision has been made. But if you're mad at Peyton Manning and you're not.
Well, he's gone. I mean, there's no question about that.
I agree.
Now.
Well, I've already put that on everything I can put it on.
Yeah,
but when would you let him go if you really want to get him? I'd let him go right now.
Yeah, but why would you really want to get him?
Because I think Irsay is an egotist.
Because you know who
he's an egotist.
If the Colts really want to get me, you know what I do if I'm Peyton Manning?
What?
Call up the Tennessee Titans and say, "Hey, do you need a quarterback? Because I want to beat the living crap out of the Indianapolis Colts twice a year."
I don't think he's going to do that. I think Peyton's going to go where it's best for him and his family.
What's wrong
it's
with Tennessee?
It's not going to be Nashville, trust me.
What's wrong with that?
It'd be okay if Jeff Fisher was the head coach, but he's not. Hey, Mike Munchak?
Hey Tennessee, you got a running back? cool.
Yeah, they do have a running back. They got a running back who played when he wanted to this year.
Yeah, well,
they got their own problems.
Do you think he'd want to play if a man named Peyton Manning was his quarterback and a man named Kenny Britt was?
They're not even the top five, Roy.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying the top five are though. Yeah, oh yeah,
we talked about it earlier.
Right, but I'm saying if I'm Peyton Manning and I really want to get the Colts, I hit up Tennessee. But I know he's not up there. I know it's not up there, but still. I pull a Brett Favre and say, I want to play you twice a year.
Okay. This is Bruce Hall. Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. Roy and I'll be right back. Welcome back to AM 1230 WFAS. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. If you want to tweet me at Bruce Hall Sports. If you want to tweet Roy, tweet him at Sports Man Cave. Please tweet us. We're fun to tweet. Matter of fact, I think I'm on my 8,000th tweet, and I don't think I've been tweeting but about 3 months since the start of the season.
That's pretty ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but I type so fast.
I've been on Twitter for a little over a year with Sports Man Cave, and I'm at 3,500. So for you to be at 8,000 in like 3 months.
Dude, I mean,
months,
I just,
like,
I have a lot of people I follow, and you know what's really neat?
Just
I have a lot of people who are following. No. Well, you know what? It's really hard not to.
Being retired must be great.
No, listen to me. Hey. Listen to me, yeah, though. No. You know what I do? No, the people that follow. No, I got all those girls off of my thing. As a matter of fact, you got to block them. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Well, yeah. I mean, what do you do? You can usually tell.
I look at the picture, and if I see a good-looking girl, I do away with it. Now, I got to tell you, there's some good-looking beat reporters that are female. Mm-hmm. And it's one of them, Steph, I'm going to reach out to you. Steph Stradley with the Houston Texans. She's a lawyer and a sports writer. Hey, if you're single and you don't go out with Steph, you're a moron, okay? You're a moron. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm already taken. I'm married. Been happily married for 23, 24 years, one of those two. I got to figure it out. I'd have to do some math here.
I have to ask my wife for that one.
Yeah, we went to my little sister. She's not really my little sister. Cindy Wilson and Barry Wilson's house yesterday. Cindy just turned my age, exactly. And she was like my little sister growing up. Hi, Cindy. Hi, Barry. Hi, everybody that was over there. Hi, Brian. Brian is a musician in Richmond, Virginia, and he's a phenomenal musician. His name is Brian Cruz, C-R-U-S-C. No relation. That's a great segue. No relation into what I'm going to talk about now. Victor Cruz, spelled C-R-U-Z. In my opinion, the story of this team, if you really wanted to point one guy out that has made a big difference, it is Victor Cruz. Because Victor Cruz, he was their guy. He was their go-to guy with injuries to Manningham, injuries to Hakeem Nicks. He was their go-to guy all season long. Even their tight ends were injured, both of them, okay? And, hey, what a great name. The only guy named Bear in the history of the NFL to catch a touchdown pass in the playoffs. Bear Pasco, I don't think, had ever caught a touchdown pass. He caught one in the playoffs last week for a touchdown. What a great, great, great player this kid is. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Roy G to my left. Roy,
yes.
Talk to me a little something about what you think's going to happen next week. We're going to make some predictions here. And I'm not – if you know me and if you know what I do, which is handicap pro football, and I do – I'm way ahead of where most people are. I was handicapping the Super Bowl with teams 4 or 5 weeks ago. I did pick the Giants way back to – do what they're doing this year, which is
you did
exemplify to show me that to me they were the exact same team that won the Super Bowl because mm-hmm. as long as they got healthy and as long as their defense got healthy, let me tell you, as soon as Michael Boley came back and as soon as they started doing when he came back, there were more things they could do in the back four. Do you understand? I mean, they could play different coverages. The Giants have looked like world beaters in the last 7-8 games defensively, except in New Orleans when they got their butts handed to them. But you know what? You can't win. You can't win every game. And if you're gonna blow a game, blow one on the road and one where the team was 8-0, right? Mm-hmm. You can't beat New Orleans in New Orleans. But I like Victor Cruz. I love what he does. This kid gets so much power and speed off his brakes. I don't know how you can cover him. You got to cover him with two, but I don't even know. They were covering him with two last week in the second half, and yeah, it made a little difference, but guess who was open? Mario Manningham. I mean, they threw out a little post pattern to him right over the linebackers, or right over the safety who never got back to help out for the touchdown that turned out basically to be the game winner, because it took them to 17, and then they kicked the field goal at the end of the game to win it. I just think that there's no way the Giants don't get at least 450 yards, maybe even 500 yards of offense next week. I think if they don't turn the ball over and their defense plays like they're playing, not great but good, I think they're gonna have 450 to 500 yards of offense. I think that the Patriots are going to be playing catch-up to the Giants next week in Indy. What do you think, Roy?
No, I'd agree with that. I mean, you talked about the New England defense stepping up last week, but the Baltimore Ravens are not an explosive offense, A, and B, look at their receivers. I mean, Torrey Smith's a rookie. As good as he's looked at times this year, he's a rookie. And then you got Anquan Boldin, who is not a stretch the field kind of guy.
He's at 70%.
He's a good possession receiver, and right. He's good for picking up first downs.
He's on the back end of his career.
You could say that, but and then who do they have? I mean, they have Lee,
not really.
Lee Evans, who's been out all season.
He couldn't
catch
a ball that he caught
and dropped the big one. I mean, that receiving core is not Cruz, Hakeem Nicks.
No, they're average. They're very average, and that's.
You put Edelman on any three of those, and that's embarrassing.
I'd like to see Edelman try to cover Victor Cruz.
I mean, Edelman got embarrassed last week at times.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to. You know, with Cruz in the slot, he can make so much happen in the middle of the field.
I mean, it's
And you know where Eli likes to throw the ball? Right down the middle of the field.
I mean, I don't care.
So does his brother.
I don't care how good at game planning Bill Belichick is. You know, one of the things I wanted to bring up, because Matt, you're a big Batman fan, right? And now everybody knows that there's that big argument in the comic book world that Batman is not a superhero. And then the Batman fans...
That's a joke.
Hold on. And then the Batman fans say that Batman's a superhero because his ability to prepare for an enemy, and he can beat any enemy because of his preparation. So then it's... I don't care how good at preparing you are, if you're Batman or, in this case, the New England Patriots.
Right.
If you're playing somebody, if you're match up against the New York Giants or, say, somebody who actually has weapons like a Superman, I don't care how good at preparing Batman is. He's not going to beat Superman.
Well,
I don't care how good at preparing Bill Belichick is.
This is a different show because I'd say yes, he can.
All right. Well, now you got Matt pissed off.
I don't care how good at preparation you are, Bill Belichick. You're not going to match up with the
right.
weapons that the Giants have.
All right. Well,
it's not going to happen.
Now, there's one guy we haven't talked about today, Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin, in my opinion, is a Hall of Fame coach already. I don't care if he wins a second Super Bowl. If he wins a second Super Bowl, he has matched Bill Parcells. Well, congratulations, you matched Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells is a very good coach. He is a Hall of Fame coach. But I got to tell you.
Who won that?
I got to tell you.
Batman won that?
I got to tell you, Bill Parcells.
Did he put kryptonite on his hands or something? That's stupid. All right.
These guys are talking about Superman and Batman over here.
So Batman won. Okay?
But
that
but
doesn't
listen.
Mean anything.
Hey, Tom Coughlin has, in my opinion, done the best job of any coach in football in the last several years in New York. He's in a town that's hard to play in. I mean, just because there's so much media, there's so much pressure. When he first got there, he was a little different than he is now. He's softened up. Everybody seems to think that. Funny how winning makes everything better. But I'm going to tell you right now, Tom Coughlin has done a phenomenal job this year. If they vote right now, he should be Coach of the Year anyway. He should be NFC Coach of the Year for sure, and probably will be. But he should be the NFL Coach of the Year this year, even if he loses to Belichick. Now,
The Giants were beat up all season.
Well, Belichick, but Belichick is going to not get as many votes anyway because the media doesn't like him because he never gives them anything usually. This week he has opened up a little bit.
They didn't beat anybody this year. I mean, which is...
No, I understand, but it's not their fault, so you can't really go there.
I know. They played in a week.
But
they played in the
you're
week
right.
AFC.
Now, their three losses were to three pretty good teams. One to the Ravens? No.
No.
No, one was
they
to
lost
they
the
lost
Steelers.
To Pittsburgh, they lost and they lost to the Giants, and they lost to somebody else.
Buffalo.
There was And Buffalo
when Buffalo was
yeah,
good.
Yeah, well, Buffalo scored 21 points in a row in that game and beat them at the end of the game. They were up by 17.
That was week 3 when they were healthy.
Yeah, that was week 3 when Buffalo everybody thought they were going somewhere including me and they just went to hell in a handbasket. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Roy G. Will you please tweet us 24/7? You can tweet me at Bruce Hall Sports. Go to my webpage, brucehallsports.com, and go to Facebook because Facebook is where I'm growing. Go to my Bruce Hall Sports Facebook page. Roy, tell them all your Facebook and information
there,
too.
Oh, my gosh. I got a million. Okay,
Don't give them a million. Just give them a couple.
Well, on Twitter, I'm at SportsManCave. But recently, SportsManCave.com has branched out into 4 different cities. We have SMC New York, SMC Baltimore, SMC Washington, and then we have SMC Morgantown that covers WVU. So we are spanning the globe with blogs and videos and tailgate times. And just go to SportsManCave.com and check it all out.
All right, I'm going to give you the reasons. 5 reasons why the Giants are going to win the Super Bowl if they played it today. Because you never know what's going to happen this week. Somebody could get injured, even in walkthroughs and practice. Eli Manning has been solid in his eighth NFL season. He threw for just under 5,000 yards with 29 touchdowns. In his first 2 playoff wins, he's thrown for 607 yards and 6 touchdowns. And this is the part that's the most impressive to me. He started 119 consecutive regular season games. That's unbelievable. That's like his brother. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's never out. He's always there. He's dependable. No wonder they make $20 million a year. Now, the second reason, he's got 3 high-quality receivers, and he's got other receivers that can move the football. He's got Victor Cruz, who we've already talked about. Mm-hmm. He's got Hakeem Nicks, who had just under 1,200 yards and 7 touchdowns during the regular season. And he's got one of my favorite guys and a very underrated guy from Michigan, Mario Manningham, who only had 523 yards this year with 4 touchdowns, but he's healthy now. He hadn't been healthy all year. Tom Coughlin is the third reason. He has an 11-7 record in the postseason. And in my opinion, if he does win this game, he's locked up the Hall of Fame.
He's going for Parcells. This is the matchup with one of the greats.
Well, you know, they both coached together. They coached with Parcells together. Mm-hmm. He and Belichick for I want to say 3 years. He was the wide receiver coach. Coughlin was, and Belichick was defensive coordinator. Then the other reason I like is the running game is improving. The Giants were last in the league in rushing this year. We talked about that all year. And we couldn't figure it out because they had 2 good running backs. Well, a lot of that was that when they needed to move the ball, what did they do? They threw it because nobody could stop it. They couldn't double cover everybody. You know, now those guys aren't banged up anymore. And I doubt the Patriots are going to have much of an answer for the Giant running game, even if they just hand the ball off to Jacobs and Bradshaw. They could, theoretically, give them the first 10 touches and see what happens. And they might get 2 or 3 first downs. You know Belichick is not going to rush more than 3 or 4 people. He can't cover with less than 6 or 7, correct?
Yeah.
So I'd run the football right down their throat from the get-go just to see what happens. You know, this is what tells me that not only – if they were -3, I think I'd take them today. I like the Giants here. I think this is a Giants story this year. It is the NFL's team. You know, they've got great fan base. It's the Patriots. Nobody, you either love the Patriots or you hate the Patriots. Well, guess what? If you hate the Patriots, there's 31 teams that are rooting against the Patriots next week. Mm-hmm. There's probably only one, there's only one team rooting for them. Wouldn't you agree?
It's the Patriots. That's I mean, come on.
Now we're getting really. Now when we come back from break, I'm going to talk about when we come back from break, I'm going to talk about what you have to do if you want to go to the Super Bowl and how it works at the Super Bowl and what to expect to pay. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute.
And we are back, New York, AM 12.
What was that tune? That was a pretty nifty little tune. Sounded like 60s music. Who is it? Roadrunner, baby.
Roadrunner. Like, beep, beep.
Hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to talk about the Super Bowl now. And not the game. We're going to talk about the event. For almost 30 years now, I've taken people to the Super Bowl. And I'm not even going this year because I have a district wrestling tournament I can't miss. And I have a show to do from 10 to 12 next Sunday that you all need to hear.
I'll go for you.
It would be really hard for – I can probably drive fast enough to get there, but they'd never let me drive that fast getting to Indianapolis by the game.
Terrible driver.
But the one thing you have to understand about the Super Bowl is it's not for everybody anymore. When I first started doing this, the face value of a ticket in the 80s, the mid to late 80s, was – you know, $90 for the Super Bowl. Now it's $800 for the cheapest ticket that they make to the Super Bowl. Then it's $1,000 or $900 for a club seat and $1,200 for some special seats that they have. Forget about that. That's the retail price.
I'm on StubHub right now looking at tickets. The cheapest
$2,600 probably.
$2,118 for the cheapest ticket.
Well, then they've come down. And is that a single? That's one ticket.
That is one ticket. And then here is a full suite for $617,000.
Yeah, well, you can have that. Now, that suite probably only has 10 to 20 seats. But I'm going to tell you right now. Let me tell you how it works, people. First of all, every hotel room in Indianapolis is booked. The NFL books hotel rooms for Super Bowls sometimes well over a year in advance. Indianapolis is not what you would consider a destination spot, okay? It's not New Orleans. It's not Miami. It's not Tampa. It's not Phoenix. It's none of those places.
It's not what you would call a good city.
No. It's not that it's not a good city. It's a tiny little – it's a tiny city. It's not a big city. But, you know, they only have a certain amount of four-star hotels. And generally when you go for somewhere for three or four nights and you're going to spend – you know, if you're taking two people, you're going to spend $12,000 minimum anyway. That's if you don't go to any events or buy any souvenirs or anything. You might as well stay in a nice hotel. Wouldn't you agree? Well, the NFL, by the way, has all those hotels blocked. They're all for teams, owners, sponsors, you name it. That's who is in all these hotels. Well, sometimes guys like me that have been in the business for a long time, I can get a few rooms like that. I can call somebody that I know is a sponsor and I can get a couple of rooms from them, but I'm going to pay $1,500 a night. Okay. That's what I'm going to have to pay for them. You can. Now, let me tell you what these two teams do. The New York Giants, Roy, mm-hmm. are, like I said, the NFL's team. Okay. The NFL, based out of New York City, that's not that far from Indianapolis. Now, most of the flights into Indianapolis and back from Indianapolis on Monday, and now probably almost on Tuesday coming back, they're all booked on the major airlines. So what you've got now is a situation where you can't get in and out unless you do drive or take a train or do something. So what you're looking at now is you got to have a ticket. First of all, when do I buy the ticket? Well, like I've told everybody, you know, tickets right now, in my opinion, are starting around $2,500 a piece. And they're going to as high as you think you have to pay. $7,500, $6,500, $5,500 for really good club seats, lower level seats between the 30s. The most expensive tickets at any Super Bowl are lower levels and clubs between the 20s. Because we don't even like to guarantee between the 30s in the ticket business. Because if somebody's on the 28, they go crazy. So we say between the 20s. And that is the middle four sections on both sides. Think about it. Those are the best seats in the stadium. If you really want to see the show, the halftime show, and have the best seat for the halftime show, be on the side where the stage faces you and then be in the first 10 rows. That's pretty wild. That's crazy. And I'm going to tell you, the Super Bowl does a great job with their concerts. I don't even go to SuperBowl.com. I'm not even sure who's playing this year. But it's Madonna.
Is it Madonna?
Well, you know what? I've seen Madonna like three times. She'll put on one hell of a concert.
You've seen Madonna three times?
I saw Tom Petty. I've seen everybody. But you got to understand, the NFL knows how to put on a party, okay? Now, here's the
Just
whole thing.
Just ask Janet Jackson.
Hey, listen. Don't start talking bad about Madonna because she could wear anybody you know out no matter what their age is.
Easy now.
What are we talking about here?
Madonna.
Madonna. No, Madonna, no.
Gym Class Heroes.
Hey, I don't care.
All American rejects.
So anyway, here's the deal. You got to buy your ticket. Let's say you pay minimum $2,500
a ticket. That's a good concert.
That'll be. Hey, listen to what I'm saying.
If you're, you know.
Hey, listen to what Bruce. I'm saying. Roy, I'm trying to help these people out here. We're trying to get them in the stadium for the game.
Yep.
Cheapest price possible.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get in cheap, you're going to sit in the upper level, 600 level.
Yeah.
That's okay. You're at the Super Bowl. $2,500 a ticket for two people is $5,000. If you stay an hour outside of Indianapolis at a two or three star hotel, you probably only spend $100 a night, and you'll actually find a room available an hour and a half from town. But you won't find anything within a half hour probably that's less than $500 to $750 a night. Seriously.
Because of the Super Bowl.
Yes, because right. the hotels mark them up,
yep.
And then the brokers mark them up that have them, and that's just the way it works. Now, if you want to go to something really fun like the Taste of the NFL, go to thetasteofthenfl.com, and you'll find, I'm pretty sure it's $600 a ticket. It is the most fun that you'll ever have in your life if you like food. The best chefs from every single city in the NFL send their best chefs there, and you get in free for a ticket. It's also one of the best silent auctions you'll ever see. Just tons of memorabilia signed, not only football stuff, some baseball stuff, all kinds of stuff. That, in my opinion, is the best event you can go to. And they always have extra seats to it, because if they need them, they just add tables. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
So I've bought a table before for $6,000 and had the best time of my life. I saw, not Journey, I saw Styx or somebody 3 or 4 years ago. They were the band that played at the Taste of the NFL. I mean, you know, it was unbelievable. But
I'm on Expedia right now.
Okay.
And looking at hotels for Super Bowl weekend.
Right.
And there's not a single hotel.
Well, that's what I try to tell you. Don't even bother going to there. So, well, Cincinnati's not terribly far. A lot of people fly into Dayton. You can fly into Dayton, Ohio, probably still on Thursday or Friday, rent a car and drive 2 hours. I think it's 2 hours from Dayton to the game.
These are two and a half star hotel.
That's
no,
okay.
No rooms available.
Yeah, well, of course
no rooms
not.
Available. No rooms available. Two star. No rooms available.
No, there aren't. Hey, go. Are you on SuperBowl.com?
I'm on Expedia.
If you go to SuperBowl.com, there are links that will get you everywhere, people. And not only that, you can go to StubHub.com if you want to see what the market is for tickets. Because for the most part, StubHub is made up of mostly really good ticket brokers. There's not a lot of individuals on StubHub like they like to say. It's not. Anybody that's got Super Bowl tickets, trust me, is in the business, okay? Here's what people do from New England. People from New England, this is their fifth Super Bowl, okay? Since Belichick's been around, okay? Sixth Super Bowl overall. New England, they're not in a hurry to get there. When they were in Jacksonville playing Philadelphia, Donovan McNabb, when he threw up in the huddle and was out of gas, and that Super Bowl when the Eagles lost, the Philadelphia Eagle fans were there all week long. They partied every night. They drank every beer, every mixed drink in town. By Sunday, they were so tired. At halftime, they were all asleep. The Pats fans are great fans. They're very highly educated to football. They show up. You know when they come? Late Friday, early.
I'm a loser. Here.
I'm sorry. I was leaning on my thing.
Watch your hand there, buddy.
Hey, that was my hand. Loser. No, but listen.
Just calling yourself a loser. I didn't even have to do that time.
What the Patriots do is they come Saturday and they leave Monday. Sometimes they'll stay till Tuesday, Wednesday, and just actually vacation at the city. Why you'd want to stay in Indianapolis for two extra days, I don't have the answer for that, okay? I'm not going to say anything bad about Indianapolis, but I will say this. I wouldn't do it. There's no way. I'd come home as soon as I could, even if I had to rent a car and drive, okay? But the Pats fans, they will. If you don't have your ticket by Saturday, the Pats fans are going to drive the price up. Saturday and early Sunday. They always do. New York, when New York went to Tampa and played the Ravens 10 years ago, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
When Trent Dilfer was a quarterback. Oh, God, I just get tired of listening to him sometimes. But he's a pretty knowledgeable guy. Great golfer, too, by the way. Trent Dilfer was their quarterback. It was $3,500 to get in on Super Bowl Sunday. You couldn't find a ticket anywhere. And the reason you couldn't find a ticket was because for some reason, the Baltimore Ravens didn't get enough tickets to their fans. So they all ended up coming down looking for tickets. And when the New York Giants are in the game, it is, what did I call the New York Giants? The NFL's team. You can't get tickets. I guarantee in New York, hardly anybody's selling tickets. In New England, probably more. So if you want to find tickets, you can pick up the Boston Globe, go through that, go to StubHub. If you go to StubHub.com, you should be able to find, or if you just get totally bored today and you want to talk to somebody about what should I do, you can give me a call. You can call Bruce Hall at 1-800-466-4748. I've already fixed up a bunch of Patriot fans of mine. I've fixed them up with hotel rooms. They had to pay for the rooms, but I made not one penny off of them. I don't care. I'm not really in the business anymore. I mean, yeah, I'll go through a bunch of tickets from time to time, but I don't do Super Bowls anymore. I do the Masters Golf Tournament every year, and if you want to go see the best event in the world every year, you need to call me, Bruce Hall. Bruce Hall Sports, that's 1-800-466-4748. You can go to my Facebook page, which is Bruce Hall Sports Facebook. That's three separate words, Bruce Hall Sports. And you can tweet me at Bruce Hall Sports. So there's no way not to get a hold of me. And if you want to talk to Roy, just call Roy too. Except for Roy doesn't give his phone number out he's got.
You can email me.
Well, you know what it is. It's like, you know, your parole.
His parole officer
doesn't even know where he is now.
Parole officer.
So, you know, we don't want to.
Parole officer.
I'm just kidding.
You can email me. It'll go to my phone, and that's kind of the same thing.
It'll go to my phone, and it works the same way. I don't even understand. These phones, I don't know what I do with my phone now.
You still got a flip phone over there.
Yeah, but you know, usually my phone's going off while we're on the air.
All right, so popular.
No, I turned it down. My ringer volume's up. Let me turn it down. I'm Bruce Saul. This is Roy G. Listen, we're going to be back next week, and next week is going to be the biggest show we've had so far.
Yeah.
We may even have a surprise next week. I haven't decided yet. I may interview some people during the week, this week, and see if I can't get some of my interviews on the show next week, because I got a lot of people that are going to be in Indianapolis. This is Bruce Hall, and I'm coming to you from AM 1230 WFAS in New York. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Roy G.
Yes, sir.
Saying goodbye, and we will see you next week, New York.